Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to That's So Bro. This is episode number 9, and today we have a very special guest with us.
The most special guest ever. So we have Seth. Seth, would you tell us about yourself and why you're so special?
My name is Seth. I'm a comedian from Sydney, Australia. I also am a part of a YouTube comedy channel called Yeah Mad TV. And it's good to be here in Sri Lanka.
Man, you are the reason I don't have much sleep. I watch your show till like 3, 4 in the morning laughing my butt off. Amanda, have you seen it?
I have. And that's only because I've been introduced to it by Yosha.
Yeah, it's hilarious. If you guys have not seen it, please, Yeah Mad TV, just go nuts. Go nuts, and you're welcome.
How do terrorists feed their children?
Oh, no.
Here comes the airplane. And here comes the second one.
Dude, that joke was the bomb. Yeah.
I just got that.
Oh, dude. Jesus. Oh. Dude, we drank this quick. I might need a bucket, bro.
So Seth's here on a vacation, right? You're here on a vacation?
Yeah, well, I'm actually visiting my dying grandmother. No, she's very old. Well, she's not dying. She's just very old. I'm visiting her. I'm only here for 10 days.
All right.
So you caught me at a good time.
I mean, I was all... Every 5 minutes, it's like... You coming for the podcast? And he's like, yes.
It was 2 texts away from getting blocked altogether.
Well, as you heard, another comedian, I was about to go to his house and...
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so today's topic, Amanda, what are we going to talk about?
The aspect of dark humor.
Which you are an expert of.
Yeah, I love it. It got me into comedy. Dark jokes, dark humor. I think it's an important aspect of comedy. I think it's good to laugh about things we are afraid to speak about, you know. So yeah, that's my kind of opinion on that.
Fair enough, but then now dark humor is what actually got you into the industry. How did you actually start venturing into it?
Into comedy?
Yeah.
Itself. So I've actually wanted to do comedy since I was a kid. Since I was about, let's say, 10, 11, there are a lot of popular Australian comedy channels on TV I used to watch as a child. And one of my mum's friends, she actually, when I was so young, she gave me, I don't know if you guys have seen Eddie Murphy Raw.
Yes.
Have you seen that comedy special?
Yes.
This is the 80s one.
The one with the red suit,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Purple suit. Yeah, I was way too young to watch it, but... She gave me this DVD and it changed my life. I said, this is exactly what I want to do. But I didn't do comedy till I was 26. I always wanted to do it, but I was too scared to do it. I'd watch it heaps. And then, you know, I went through life. I went to uni. I tried to go a different path. But then I'm glad I failed at so many things in life because it made me realize, okay, I have to do comedy now. And it worked out.
So you're saying that we have to fail on... stuff before we become
comedians. Yeah, you have to fail. Because I think as a Sri Lankan, I think we're told to, we have to be a certain archetype. So I went through, to be good at school. I wanted to have a proper job. That's what I thought I had to do.
Right.
So I went to uni. I failed at that. I kept failing at all these things I thought I had to do. And then the only thing left for me to do was stand-up comedy. And it worked out. I think my very first gig, it was an open mic, and it went really well. I did like 4 minutes.
Right.
And it went really well, first time ever doing it. And then I remember at that point, I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be the best at this. I felt so good after making a whole group of people laugh. There were only like 40 people in the audience, but I did really well. And then I remember coming out of that room thinking I was one of the best to ever do it. And then I went and did it. I looked up another place to go and do it, and I did that gig, and I did 4 minutes to zero laughs.
Oh, no.
Complete silence.
Man. All right.
Complete silence for 4 minutes. But it was very humbling. But at least I knew, like, the first gig went so well. I'm like, I know at least I can do it, but it's not as easy as it looks.
So is your stand-up routine all dark humor? Or?
I think what was my first joke? I think my first joke was about sitting on the toilet so long because of your phone or something. That's something stupid like that. It wasn't all dark. I think it was very cheeky humor. But yeah, then I ventured more into dark humor. But I wouldn't say all my comedy is dark humor. But I do. It's my favorite type.
Yeah,
definitely my favorite type.
I have seen the YouTubes. I know.
I think because in over here you can't do stand up as much. Like in Sydney, we can do it if we wanted to every night. So you perform to so many different types of audiences, and not everyone likes dark humor, you realize. So yeah, as a stand-up, you have to kind of cater to the audience, so you have to read the room. So sometimes dark humor is not the way to go,
right?
Especially if there's like old white women in the crowd, or like children even. I can't do a joke about 9/11, you know. it's not gonna work out.
But that was it. So basically the first stand-up you went to was essentially the tipping point. And you were like, fuck it, I'm going to do this from now on.
Yeah, 100%. I'm so glad I did well. I think if I bombed that, if I got zero laughs that first gig, I don't think I would have ever done it again. You know, I give up very easily.
The first gig I did, I kind of bombed a bit.
Did you get any laughs?
I mean, I got a few here and there, but it was not a really good, like, you know, that feel-good laugh you get from the audience.
Yeah.
So after the first gig, I was a bit shaky, like, am I going to do this again? Is this my thing? And then my friend over here is like, go, do it again, don't give up. The second gig I did exploded, like...
Oh, really?
Like,
nice.
There was one lady who was like, I'm going to pee if you don't stop talking. And that's something that I keep playing in my head over and over again. But as you said, the same joke may not work in the...
That baffled me at the start. Because I did the... the first gig I did 4 minutes. The second gig I did completely new, fresh jokes. But I didn't realize, you know, comedians recycle their jokes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was all on the spot. Comedians do new jokes every time. But I learned that. And then it was interesting to me because I do a gig with the same jokes, and one gig would be amazing. And I do the same joke, same order, like nothing really changed, but it won't be as good. So you kind of learn, not everyone laughs at the same thing. So hey, read the room.
Can I just one of my jokes on it?
Yeah, go on.
All right.
You wrote this?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So when I was growing up, I used to hit on girls, you know, I mean, 15, 16 year old.
Yeah.
But I used to get the same response from the chicks. Like, they'll be like, bye, bye. You know, bye, I don't want to see you, bye. So at that point, I thought I was bisexual. See, it didn't work, man. Oh, no.
It was good.
He's so polite.
It took me a sec to get it. I had to like, oh, right, no, that's good.
So I thought I was bisexual, but then when I looked at the mirror, it's not that I'm bisexual, I'm just fucking ugly.
Okay.
Well, the joke killed at Sanctuary.
Right.
The joke also killed at the Cuisine Colombo. But then I performed at Punchy Theatre, and it was this reaction.
Right.
Right. Was it different in age group?
No, I think the Punchy Theatre audience, they came to see singular comedy.
Oh, okay.
So
that was my
thing.
Do you perform mainly in English?
Yeah. Like almost exclusively. Like I put singular words into it. I'm more confident with English. So So man. Come on, please take
that's
away.
That's a good joke. Sorry.
No, bro, you broke his arm.
You must know it's different to do it in front of a group. It's all about you standing up. This is a different environment. It was a good. It's a good joke. It's there.
So, Seth, how did YouTube start, bro?
Takshi cut this part off.
No, leave that in.
You're just crying in the corner.
Leave that in. Focus on my face.
Yes.
How did the whole YouTube thing start, bro?
Oh, yeah, that is a good question.
So crazy. This guy who started, his name's Ben, he just wanted to start a YouTube channel. He had no idea what he wanted to do. He just wanted to start a YouTube channel. And he was on TikTok and he found a comedian named Andrew Hamilton. And he said, okay, I want to get a bunch of you together. Can you recommend anyone? So he actually recommended me. and another one of the other comedians. And this guy just kind of put us in a studio and just let us just, he was like, tell each other jokes, and whoever laughs has to have a shot of alcohol. And that's how it started. And at the when it started, it was supposed to be one shoot. He said, I'll give you $125, just come in, do one shoot, that's it. But those videos blew up. So I don't know how. Like, even I watch those old ones, and I'm like, I don't know why people would watch this. It's like very basic humor. Like, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun to do. But then it blew up, and then we became this group, like a comedy group, and people just loved watching our videos, and it just rolled from there. And there was no plan. It just kind of, a lot of it is improv. Right. It kind of just like a snowball effect, just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Until it became what it is. We got like 2 million subscribers, but more than that, I think, now. It's crazy. It's really changed my life being a part of that, because I went from this like Sydney-based comedian, just kind of known in the area, now to kind of now being known internationally.
Yeah.
It's kind of all happened within a year. So it's pretty crazy. And I'm still like in shock about it, but I love doing it. It's one of the funnest things to do. It's really just hanging out with your friends and laughing, and they just put it on camera.
Dude, that's a dream job.
Yeah, it is. It really is the dream job. It's not good for my liver, though. We drink a lot. But it is fun. I actually got blood tests the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, I need to check.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
it's not looking good. I just got those results. I think I'll have to have a break on the alcohol. But yeah, it's good. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. It's not for everyone. I'll say that. It isn't for everyone.
it's for most people.
Well, yeah, let's see how. Like I don't think my mom would like it.
Right. Okay, there you go. If you are that age group, maybe you won't. If you're this age group, maybe you will.
Yeah, I don't think my mom will also like it.
Yeah.
She's like, what did this fellow say?
Yeah. That's the general reaction my family gives me. Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, I'm glad you're doing well, but can't understand what you're saying.
I'm happy you're happy. who were your other inspirations, though? Like, because my thing is this, right? Because we come from such a brown culture that taking a risk into something like comedy is something that's so unheard of.
Definitely, yeah.
Right. How did you make that leap into, fuck it, it's going to be this?
Well, like I said, it's just failing everything else I've done. Like, I'm so grateful I didn't do well in other aspects of life. There are all these other things I wanted to do, but I just didn't crack it, or I ended up not enjoying it as much, or I just wasn't good at it till I had to do that to come to this. This is something I've always wanted to do, but it's all, like you said, it's like something I didn't see is reasonable. I didn't think it would work out. You know, it's something that you kind of look at, like stand-ups, kind of, only a small percentage of people will make it in that industry, especially in Australia, because so many people are doing it.
Right.
So I kind of thought like, oh, it's kind of a fever dream. It's something I would like to do, but I don't, you know, it's not a sensible option. So I went the sensible route, and I did all that, but I failed at all that. So if comedy's, I realized, is the only thing I'm good at, and I'm still not the best at it. But it's kind of something I had to fail and kind of fall into, which is, but it is something that, like I said, it's something I always wanted to do. So I think my advice is just go and do the thing you really wanted to do from the start, instead of, unless you want to go and fail at everything else.
I think in the brown culture, you had to prove to your parents that you failed in there.
Yeah, yeah. I think my mom, it took her a while to be like, okay, you just go and do whatever.
You're
a
dumbass. Dumbass, go.
Nah, she has, my mom's actually very supportive of it, which is surprising. She, out of all my family, she's the one who has told me, just go and do whatever makes you happy. And it makes me happy, and it worked out.
Do you have siblings?
No, I'm only child. Yeah, wow. Yeah.
That's a lot of pressure.
You unicorn, you can't even pull that off, bro.
Like in my family, it's like, okay, you failed, your brother is there. No?
Yeah. My mom went super Buddhist when I failed at it. She's like, okay, it is fine.
That's so bro, man.
That's so bro. That's so bro.
There you go.
So when you are doing dark comedy stuff, do you think that you're putting any limits on the jokes? Like, do you think there should be a limit, or you just...
I think you can speak about anything. I think you should be able to joke about anything, but as long as it's funny. There's funny, and then there's just being offensive. There's being rude, or there's, and it's just finding that line. Of course, I've done a lot of jokes that I thought are funny, and then I realize only when I'm on stage doing it to a group of people that, oh no, this is just offensive. This is not right. funny at all. But you just have to find that line. Like personally, I think you should be able to joke about anything. But as long as it's funny, as long as there's lightheartedness in it, you don't. There's no ill will. It's all about intention. I think it's if your goal is to just make people laugh, I think that's fine. But if your goal is to offend someone or say, or you know, be mean about it, then it's probably not funny.
Do you want to share the story of how you felt like you were offending someone when you got on stage? Or
I've done a lot of like when there was one I can't remember the exact. I did a joke about Hitler.
In Germany, please say.
No, no way. This was in Australia, but there's a Jewish couple in the audience.
Oh no!
And then a few people laughed, but they didn't. And then after the show, they came and talked to me, and they said, "Look," they kind of explained, that it was very offensive to them. And at first, I was a bit confused. I'm like, no, but other people laughed, but then it's like, they're not Jewish. They don't have that connection to that joke. Like, they obviously felt offended by it. So, I don't know. It's a tough one because I still got laughs.
Right.
I still made people laugh. But then I don't know. That was one one example. But then there's some I've just made the whole. I've said something offensive and no one in the audience has laughed. And that's when I realized, okay, that's just not funny. That's just something I thought was funny. I think I have a lot of sick thoughts, and I think we all do. And sometimes, as a comedian, you like to express that. And sometimes it's not the best thing to do.
Right. I mean, but then you made a successful career out of it, so.
Yeah, but that's, again, finding the line. And I do jokes. I try and do, every time I do a set, I try and do one new joke at least.
Okay.
I reckon about 60% of the time that joke doesn't work. So you just have to find what works.
So then is that, bro, that you just keep polishing that joke until it becomes funny, or you just drop it altogether?
I have a rule. I do that one. If I have a joke that I like, that I think there's something there, I'll do it 3 to 4 times.
Right.
And if it makes the room of people laugh 2 or more times, then there's something there. If it gets 3 out of 3 no laughs, it's obviously not funny.
Right.
Again, like, you have to try it in different rooms. But I've had jokes like that I've given up on, but then I've thought, no, there's something that I'll bring it up months later, and I just need to say it in a different way. I need to use one different word, inflection, or just change the punchline or something, and then it will work. So it's just about being confident. Sometimes I'll be like, I know this is funny, but it's not working, but I know there's something funny here. So I'll just keep trying it. But sometimes it just never is funny for anyone else. Something just in my mind that's funny. But yeah.
We're having PTSD with the joke I crack, isn't it?
Please, go for it.
No, the bisexual.
I like that. Was a good joke. It was a good joke. I was just
more than so for anybody who didn't know, Yashan's child fell down today. All right.
Oh, yeah.
More than that is gonna haunt that man. That is gonna haunt that man. my question to you, bro, is this, right? So dark humor is something a lot of people do find funny. And since this is a topic, but then we are not expected by society to laugh at dark humor. Why do you think people actually enjoy dark humor? And to push it a bit further, do you think people are a person who enjoys dark humor, do you think they're inherently like twisted or something? Wow. Oh yeah, you see that coming at all? Yeah, sure.
I think there's something funny. I think there's something brave about saying something we aren't allowed to say. Because I think these days that we live in a culture where it's like we're very careful what we say. We don't want to offend things. But there's something like, not brave, I'd say it's, what's the word? It's dangerous to say. And people like to hear that. People like to hear things that it's like you can't hear in an office, you know?
Right.
It's something naughty about it. It's fun. It's fun. It's just, and as an audience, you can all, when you hear one person laugh at that, you're like, oh, it's okay to laugh at it. And I think you'd understand laughter is very contagious.
Yes, it is.
So if I say a joke It's a very dark joke on stage, and only one person laughs. And slowly, the next joke, okay, maybe two, because people will say, "Oh no, it's okay. We're in a safe space. We're not going to get offended by this. We can laugh at these jokes." And it's at the end of the day, they're jokes.
Yeah.
I'm not. It's that's what a lot of people have to realize. They're just jokes, and they're not meant to mean anything harmful. But again, it's just how the audience takes it. I think with some dark jokes, I think if it comes from a personal place, it could be like a coping mechanism of how I'm just expressing. Like my father died when I was young, and I make a lot of dead dad jokes.
Right.
And a lot of people are very uncomfortable with that. But that's just kind of my way of, you know, it's my way of coping with it. It's my way of expressing how I felt with it. And I find them funny, but I also, it's not because I don't respect my dad. I have a lot of love for him, but it's just my way of expressing that right. humor, and it comes out in humor. And that's, it's just my way of dealing with it, I guess. And that's another reason why dark jokes are great, because it's, you can deal with that trauma. Like a lot of like Jewish people will make Jewish jokes about the Holocaust, or black people will make, slavery jokes or police brutality jokes. It's because it's their way of dealing with their trauma in a funny way, and it's a release. I think in that way, dark humor is very important.
But do you think that there is some kind of badness in people to express this, or is it like a person who's really good, a pure, what's the word? I don't want to say anything. A flowery person, can he express dark humor?
I think if you can make such a dark topic funny and make a whole group of people laugh, you are a pure person.
Right.
You know, you are coming from a place of like, let's talk about this dark subject, this topic that is so taboo that people don't want to talk about, but let's make a whole group of people laugh about it and feel okay. It's like holding in your breath, and when you hear that laugh of someone laughing at like a Holocaust joke or a slavery joke, it's like it's a relief. It's like, okay, it's not that serious. We're all laughing at something that people have gone through.
Right.
But it's something we can laugh at because it's not that serious. I think life isn't that serious to just kind of hold on to this anger and you know, angst.
We should have that on a t-shirt.
You're telling me, man. Especially with what you guys do.
But like a lot of people will not agree with anything I'm saying. Of course, I know you guys.
Yeah, but they're the same people who get offended by every joke.
Do you have Karens in Australia also?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Oh, cool.
There's very like a very left PC crowd, which you know I understand that's their right. But like I think if you can only be offended if you choose to be offended. You choose to be offended. You know, it doesn't have to. Nothing has to offend you. You're the person who's saying, "Okay, that offends me." It's your choice. So,
do people get offended on behalf of people?
Oh, all that the time. Thing all happens, the time. Right. Yeah, yeah.
That hasn't happened yet here, has it?
It happened to you, though. Right?
It happened to me. Yeah.
Have you? What happened?
Yeah. That was the same joke which I cracked.
This one that went flawlessly, yeah.
So the joke that I cracked to you at the beginning of the show, which didn't work really well.
The bye joke, yeah.
There was an activist in the crowd.
Right.
In one of the shows. And at the end of the show, she came up and she was like, "That's not a great joke." Because the whole bisexual is a new concept and we're trying to promote it and you're taking it, making a fool out of it.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, I'm sorry that I made fun of your orientation. She's like, "No, I'm straight." And I'm like...
Oh. Then shut the fuck up. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, well, I think if you bring, I know it is a kind of new. I don't think it's new, but it is. It's talked about more and more in Sri Lanka now. Yeah. It's very in Australia. Everyone's bi.
Yeah, okay. Right.
But here it's a very like it's being come to light, right?
Yeah.
And it's you making these jokes that make people understand it a bit more. It makes it's like people who don't like older crowd Sri Lankan groups of people wouldn't know much about that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't want to talk about it. But you making those jokes, it was like okay,
it exists.
It exists. Okay. It's just putting it out, and it's not. You know what? I don't think that's an offensive joke.
Yeah.
It's you bringing light to that topic in a funny way. I think that's important. I think it's really important to do that.
Plus, I think that actually comes back to what you said earlier about you choose to get offended, therefore you are offended.
Yeah, and especially if I did a joke there was a guy in a wheelchair. And he was at the front. I made a joke about him, and he loved it. He really laughed. He was like, but there was another lady at the back yelled, "You can't say that. That's so rude. Get off the stage." And then this guy stood up for me.
That would have been a miracle. Yeah. The miracle that Jesus.
He didn't stand up. he raised his arms. People just choose to get offended for other people. That's ridiculous, yeah. But if he was offended, then I'm sorry. I'll take full responsibility for that.
I'd say when you're not here, bro, when you roll out, I guess. Yeah.
That's why I make wheelchair jokes when you have to walk up the stairs to a comedy club. So
it's about knowing your audience.
Yeah, it's about knowing. Read the room.
Oh, God.
You said no political or race jokes. I can make disabled jokes.
Everything else on the table.
I can say disabled jokes.
Takshi wants to go to jail anyway. So she wants to make all of them her bitches. She's ready for it.
Orange is the new brown.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Do you have any ethical boundaries? Or everything's
No, I don't. Like I said, if it's funny, I think that's fine. Like even the YouTube channel, we do roasts, right? So we roast each other.
Right.
And the things that have been said about me are crazy, like so insane that I like. But I laugh at it. I think they're hilarious. But they're not true. They don't come in from a place of truth. They're just jokes, and I love that.
Do you cry?
I love that. I go home and cry. what the other Sri Lankan who used to be on the channel, Akila, he made a bunch of dead dad jokes. They're so funny, very funny jokes. But they're funny. I know him. He's my friend. He came from a place of just humor. So I don't think there's any boundaries. But again, if it wasn't funny, if it was if I didn't laugh, then I'm not going to get offended. But I'm like, that's just a stupid, you know, it's just unnecessary.
The balls to face the roast, man. I don't think I can do it. It's going to be very
so hard. Fun. It's the best. It's my favorite thing.
Is it?
Yeah, I love roast battles. Because I used to do it before the YouTube channel. We have roast battles in Australia. It's my favorite thing. And dishing it out as well. Like, I love bullying people as well in a funny way.
Making fun of someone is fun, but they fight back.
Yeah. It is. You'd think it's hard to hear, but when you're up there, it's all fun. It's one of my favorite forms of comedy, roast battles. It's great. You should check a lot on YouTube. There's so many different roast battles. But yeah, I used to watch them as a kid and be like, how are they taking this? But,
exactly. That is our question. How the fuck are they taking that?
But it's mainly, if it's your friend saying it, you know, like, it's just jokes. Like, it's... And if you choose to be a part of it, you know what you're in for.
Well, fair
you know,
enough. Yeah.
But I recommend you do it here. It's
we will start with the roast of your Sean Pereira.
Yeah, please.
Bruh.
It'll be just be like, that's funny.
His kid's so dumb, fool runs into a wall.
She doesn't need a DNA test, that's for sure.
He looks like a Tamil. You do, though. You really. You got a lot of sun. I'm half Tamil, half Singular, by the way.
He gets the pass.
He can say whatever he wants. So tell us more about the show. Mad TV.
It started off with just... So the whole thing it started off with, it's like a don't laugh challenge. So we'd sit across from another comedian and we'd tell each other jokes. And if you laugh, you have to take a shot. But it's evolved now. We're doing other segments. We're doing, like, we do roast battles. We do like charades. We've got some. We did this thing called a silent library, which is originally a Japanese game show where you get put in a library.
Yes, I do. I'm a big fan of the Japanese show.
Yeah,
it's a group of comedians there as well, right?
Yeah,
and they get smacked by I don't know what the fuck.
They do all this, but they have to do it in a library. They have to be silent.
Right.
They can't laugh. So we did our own version of that, which is so much fun to do. So it's evolving. It's very like game. It's kind of like comedians just doing game show kind of segments.
Did you said that somebody recommended you guys? For the other comedians also, were they recommended or was this audition process? Or?
No. They were also, the very first crew is all just recommendations. Then he just kind of, the producer put us all in a room and kind of, I didn't know half of these people. He just kind of put us in a room and we just made something of it. Now, so half the, a lot of the cast have left after a year just for different reasons. So now we've gotten a new cast and some of them had to audition. Some of them were recommended by me. Some of them were recommended by the other comedians. So in Sydney, it's a very small group of, the Sydney scene, comedy scene is very small. So you know everyone. So I could say, okay, this guy's funny, this girl's funny. But some of the girls had to audition. One of the girls, Peyton, she's a blonde girl. She kind of was found from the internet.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we did. We just kind of, and then we have to slowly build that chemistry up again. I think the main reason people like watching us is because there's such chemistry there.
Yeah.
It's just like a group of friends hanging out. So now we're kind of starting again, and we have to kind of build that chemistry up. But it's good. It's still very fun. I still love doing it.
I haven't seen much of the new cast yet because I'm still watching the old cast I'm a bit late. But watching the old cast, man.
Yeah, it's there.
I connect with everyone.
It was lightning in a bottle that it just somehow worked. So it is. Look, to be honest, I'm very sad that they left. It was a few different things, like due to pay disputes and things like that.
Right.
But yeah, it's sad. But I'm the new cast is great. Everyone will learn to love them. It was a very diverse. The original cast was very diverse. We had like me, another Sri Lankan, an Asian guy. There's an Arab girl, but now the new cast is just white people and me. so I think we need to find a few more Sri Lankans or Indians or something. We'll work it out. But it's good. It's still going well. We're still doing views. People are still loving it. So
can't
complain. Yeah.
The show is really good. Again, I've not seen the new cast yet. Still in the old cast.
When you get to the new cast, I think you'll be a bit sad that the old cast left. But the new, they're great.
Is it like a season one, season two thing?
I think it will end up kind of being like that. Right. I think as the channel's going to keep going. So people are going to leave. People are going to come. Like one of the girls is now pregnant, so she might have to leave. So. So it's like it's like Saturday Night Live,
right?
You know,
would you like bring guests also? Or?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we'll definitely have guests on.
Are you trying your shot?
I'm trying my best.
Yeah, well, come.
Audition me, baby. I have other jokes other than my bisexual.
Oh, bisexual joke, man.
See my special. I have a few specials online.
Do you have do you have specials online? Like a whole?
Yeah, they shot one of my specials. That was a
how long?
My set was half an hour.
Oh, nice.
So it was about six comedians who performed. I can't remember. Six. So that was a singular comedy show where I performed in English.
Okay.
So it is available on their website.
Oh, amazing. I'll check that out.
Yeah. And also I have clips on my Instagram and, you know, if you have a chance.
I've seen some on the Haha Lanka.
Oh, yeah. That's where Instagram. I started on Haha Lanka.
Yeah.
And
so what can you explain what that ha is? It like a collective? What is
it? So Haha Lanka is a collective of about eight comedians, and sometimes we when we find someone new, we get them in also. And when this person Anderson is currently abroad, when he's in Sri Lanka, he works out a monthly show.
Yeah.
And then we perform for that, and we usually get 10 to 15 minute sets. We perform and we try to record it and upload it onto the internet. Depending whether it worked or not. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work.
So how do you start doing comedy here? If you wanted to be a comedian in Sri Lanka, how do you start? How would you start?
First, by doing small skits, uploading it online.
Yeah.
Coming for open mics. Open mics is the place, man.
Ah, okay, so there. How often can you do an open mic?
Usually there's two per month.
Yeah, open mics are quite a frequent thing, dude.
But the thing is, those open mics are focused for poets and musicians.
You just have to kind of go in between.
I'll be like, I'm a poet. I'm a poet.
So it's usually like it's a very somber song or something about heartbreak, and then it's slam poetry, and then there's Yoshan coming in and saying, "So remember that one time?"
It's like a joke about your dick.
So when I started, there was this open mic for poetry, right?
Yeah.
And every single poem was by a 15 to 16 year old girl talking about heartbreak, right? So the person who's organizing the show comes up and is like, "Yoshan, I understand you're a comedian. Please don't do any vulgar jokes, right?" So this 16-year-old girl gets onto the stage and she starts telling a poem. And like in the middle of the poem, all I can hear her say was, his hard member throbbing against me, pulsing against my heart. And I'm like, how is that love, dude? And I got a student. I started doing dick jokes. Yeah. And everyone loved it. And the producer, the one who was talking, was like, all right, I'll let you pass with that. I'm like, she said throbbing member.
Yeah,
throbbing I think that's member. A dick right there.
It's nice. It's good. I feel like it breaks the tension, comedies. If you're hearing slam poetry after, you know.
Yeah, unless you're really, really, really into that sort of thing.
But even if you are into it and then you get up and make people laugh, that's beautiful. Like.
And then the best open mic I went to was when that girl made a poem about her ex, where she said she slept with the dude for 8 hours or something. And then I didn't hear the rest of the poem, right? I was like, 8 hours?
8 hours?
Like, was it at a stretch? Did you guys take breaks? Did you go to the bathroom? I didn't hear the rest of the poem. I had no idea what she was talking about.
That's crazy.
And the dude was there, right? So I thought that was the dude.
Right.
I was like, Machang, bro, you are the man. And all that. And then some other dude was like, bro, she was talking about her ex. I'm like, oh shit. Why would she talk about ex in front of an existing dude?
Yeah.
That's poetry.
The existing dude's like 5 minutes. It's like 8 hours. 8 hours is crazy.
This is a medical condition.
You have other things to do, bro.
That's a medical condition, man. 8 hours. After about 1 hour, everything's gross, man. It starts stinking up.
Yeah, it's gross.
You need deodorant, like
100% sweaty. Is he even hot anymore? Like, ugh. 8 hours. That sounds like a marathon.
Yeah.
That's not even sexual.
That's just work after a while.
So, freedom of speech and sensitive content.
Mm.
Where do you find the balance? How do you know that this is the balance you want?
I think it all comes down to if people find it funny. If people laugh, if there are other people who agree with you and they're laughing with you, then keep saying that shit. I think if you can make people laugh at it, there's always going to be someone offended by any little thing, even if we don't even find it offensive, someone would be offended. If you did that joke, that bi joke in Australia, that wouldn't be considered offensive at all. That's just a good joke, you know?
I'm glad you said not offensive, not funny.
No, it was just
those are just words strung together, man. It's nothing really.
I'll try that joke. I'll steal that joke. No, I won't. Don't worry.
You should try it.
Try it. And it kills. People start crying. Oh my God, it works. Oh my God.
You should try the joke and let me know if it works.
Okay.
You'll be like, hey,
it's on camera. I'm going to try it.
It works.
You should try this approach next time, but it fucking worked, yeah.
But like, that's interesting. So like, you're saying like here, religion and politics here, you...
Avoid.
And would people find that offensive here?
The thing is... Yeah.
Can go to jail, which is crazy.
If you make fun of religion, and if there's a certain sect of people, if they get offended by it, they take action on you.
Yeah.
Then because of the power that certain sect of people have, then the police and whatever, they have to act on it.
Yeah.
And then the media will portray you as a villain, and then this what happened is, people who come to watch comedy has some education, like some background is there. Then you have the low income and, you know, the people who have only access to free TV. Then they see in the TV, like, this guy made fun of your culture. This guy made fun of your religion. That's the thought process that goes in there. This guy's a villain.
Of course.
Plus, it's painted in the narrative, you know what I mean, man?
He
definitely or she definitely meant to offend you and bring it down.
That's how they portray you. He was targeting to offend you. He's here to bring disharmony to you, your...
Like, disrupt the peace.
Disrupt the peace.
Well, so in Australia, if you did jokes about religion or politics, that's... No one would find that offensive. That's like what everyone... That's like everyone's making those jokes, you know? So it's crazy. So it's like what... But then if you do so what would be offensive there but not here? If you did a joke about like a transgender person there, I think people would get offended there. But
that was half my set last time.
Yeah, but people wouldn't really care about it here, right?
No. Yeah, here, no. That's why I said that was half my set last time.
It's a growing populace.
Yeah, but in Australia, it's like... Unless it's the joke's funny, if you're tiptoeing around it, but a lot of those times I wouldn't make those jokes there.
Oh yeah, that's off limits to you.
Yeah, I still think it's funny.
Right.
if I do it here, but I know that it will be offensive.
Oh, okay.
Over there, so I'll leave it alone. But again, if some people just get triggered by the word, You know, they're not listening to the joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they're just like, oh, he said transgender, or he said rape, or he said something, he said a bad word, but the joke isn't offensive. They're just looking, that word is triggering them. So they're not listening to the punchline. The joke, it could be something good about a transgender person, or it could be raped. Okay, raped. That's a bit different.
So, what's the perspective of rape to me again?
No, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting into that. But like it's the joke might not even be about that, but you say that word and they'll hear that and be like, no, you can't even say that.
Yeah, it's how Takshi edits the podcast.
Yeah.
It's all in her.
It's just him saying rip, and then the next one I say, it's great.
She does these little
memes. Please don't do that to me.
She has this memes. In one of the memes, like Satish, like rip, good.
Yeah. Please don't do that. But yeah, it's just how people like to be offended as well. I think people like to. I think it's like a virtue. It's like
it is virtue signaling, for sure. But then it's that acceptance that they get that, oh, you know, I am standing up for this minority, therefore I'm a good person.
Or like, you know, I think a lot. You know, Australia as well. Okay, because now the straight white male is the devil now.
Right,
around the world, right. So then you'll get like straight white males that will now be like, oh, well, I'm bisexual.
This is what was those days. Yeah.
It's like
the gay guy's been, no, I'm straight. I'm absolutely straight.
So it's like, so they're not seen as that bad, but they're not bi. They're just saying that. But they're trying to like join a minority group to just seem like they're not, you know, to join that sect of like, they're not as bad as the straight white man or whatever. So. I don't know.
Oh, that's an interesting segment. And I'm asking this because I'm starting this here, but how is the whole men's mental health aspect there, Australia? Like how wide a group and how announced or pronounced is that there?
I think it's bad. Around the world, men's mental health is awful, but I think in Australia, it's talked about a lot more. It's grown. I remember when I was young, it would be seen as sensitive or vulnerable is, you know, it was not an option.
Right.
Yeah, I wanted to be seen as like macho, as like nothing can affect me. But now I think it's being talked about a lot more. I think suicide rates amongst men are crazy high.
70. I think I checked in Britain, it was 76 or 74.
Yeah. Yeah, compared to women, it's so much less. Because women are able to talk about their feelings, they're able to communicate their problems. Whereas we, I don't know, like as men, I feel like we hold that in. I bottle a lot in. But that's why comedy is great. I think comedy is a good way to like, it's like therapy. You kind of lay out how you're feeling in a funny way, but it's kind of just, it's getting it all out. I think it's really healthy. But yeah, mental health is getting better for men in Australia. What is it like here? Same.
Oh, nobody talks about nobody talks about
men. Nobody even knows what that is.
Right. He's one of the main advocates for mental health.
Yeah, I think like our parents don't even believe in depression. Or
no.
Yeah,
no.
My mom would
That's a man. That's a problem you have.
Don't be stupid.
Go smile. Go watch something happy.
Yeah. Go walk.
Yeah. Meditate. Just meditate.
Go outside and come.
Yeah, no, 100%. My mom, well, I guess all our parents, they don't even believe in that shit. But it's very real. Like I think a big problem is social media. Is like has really made it a lot worse because you're kind of comparing yourself a lot more to people. You're back then without social media, your circles are a lot smaller.
Right.
Now you're being introduced to everyone around the world. You're comparing yourself a lot more. Your beauty standards or like success standards. It's all you're comparing yourself to people who are miles ahead. But you shouldn't be doing that. So that I don't think that's helping. It's also a lot like bullying online is huge. But I think it should be. I think it's a great thing what you're doing.
Thanks.
Because it's serious. It's a serious problem.
Yeah. He recently shot a short movie, by the way, guys. A short movie coming soon, directed by Amanda. He got a Spielberg hat and everything for it.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. Very dreadful part. So that was basically the first film I've directed. So I got some friends. Mm. I got Yoshan's house and about two other people's houses, and we shot it. So we centered around generally the issues that Sri Lankan men would have, which is everybody hates their boss here. Yeah. I don't know a guy who actually likes working where they work.
I like working with you, Takshi.
Except for Takshi. Takshi's awesome.
We have to say that.
We're contractually obliged to say that.
Yeah, we fucking hate you.
We revolved around suicide, alcoholism, and workaholics. in Sri Lanka. And apparently the only guy in the group of four who seems to be depressed is the guy who's actually getting therapy done.
Right, yeah.
So we made a short film about that.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, because he's the only one like who... They'll label him as depressed.
Yourself. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, that's the entire point.
Yeah. But they're all depressed, of course. Yeah.
We shot on the railway track at like 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning. What was that?
Yeah, dude, yeah.
That was insane.
To showcase.
He's like, Yashan, you look out for the train. And they're like shooting there. Like,
was it like a suicide scene?
Though, yeah. So you can't really show it, right?
Yeah.
You're like hint at it by saying, okay, so now he's taking his steps on the track.
Yeah.
So we had Yashan look that side. Other guy named Satish look that side.
And we have a Satish in our group also.
Yeah, Nadesan as well, right?
No, that's
another Satish.
We have another Satish.
Yeah, I'm Nadesan as well.
So no, this Satish is Sakumar.
Sakumar.
Right.
So until...
I'm Satya.
Satya. Yeah.
So cool. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's bad. Because it's easy for the white people to say. That's why my teachers gave me that name. Because they'd always had problems with it. So then my teacher was like, oh, I'm going to call you Sat. And that kind of stuck.
My name's Kurakula Suryage. I don't know what they're going to be like.
Oh, you're fucked in Australia. Yeah, they have no idea. But I think that's so important. And it's crazy, like, that no one talks about it here.
Dude, you don't understand that. And maybe it's because we were kind of late to the game, right? Mm. But to me, having a men's circle was actually founded by some white guy who went down south.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And in that men's circle, there was 3 or 4 maybe other Sri Lankan boys.
Yeah.
And it was 8 to 10 other white guys.
Yeah.
And they initiated it. And they're like, very surprised that you guys don't know this already.
Like, the four of us were confused. We're like, what's happening?
It's hard to talk about. Like, it's even... I still find it... It's not... Even though it's very prevalent over there, I still find it hard to talk to my boys about it. Like, if I'm upset, I'm not gonna... I feel like that's where women are very good. I feel like if we won't talk to guys about our marriage, but I'll talk to my girlfriend all love of it. I'll tell her all my problems.
You know? Right.
Because they're more empathetic, you know? It's
they probably make fun of you.
Yeah, exactly. My guys would be like, loser. But, like, that's the problem. Like... But it needs to be brought. I think. Do you know what suicide rates are here? Like, is it a big problem here?
I know that the divorce rates that we found on last time was not as high, but that is also because in Sri Lanka it's seen as a stigma for you to get it.
If you're in a sad, unhappy marriage, people just suck it up.
Yeah.
They could get beaten up, abused, but they just suck it up.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard that as well.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting divorced in Australia. It's
like, it's a fact.
You're in a marriage in Australia, what the fuck's going on in your marriage?
What's wrong with you, man?
Marriage is like a 3-year thing in Australia. Move on to the next one. No, it's everyone's getting divorced. That's crazy, yeah. That's because a lot of people will say, like, India, Sri Lanka, the divorce rates are much lower because people are happier here, but that's not the case.
I mean, you do get happy marriages.
Yeah,
I've
of
seen.
Course. Yeah, yeah,
statistically, you do. But
you also get the not-so-happy ones also.
Yeah.
It works both ways.
Because there's a thing, it's like arranged marriages are more successful than, like, normal marriages in Western world. But you think that's because they're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They're still getting to know each other.
Yeah. But that's also like the literacy rate here, right?
Yeah.
So we have a really high literacy rate.
Yeah.
But then our literacy rate is based on the fact that, and from what I know, I could be wrong, it's whether you can like read and write your name in English or whatever, or Sinhalese.
Oh, right.
And like 2 or 3 other things. Whereas in like the UK, it's only if you pass your O-levels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the bar is really...
If we put passing O-levels, then, you know, in the certain in a certain building surrounded by water, most of them have not passed their O-levels, you know. I mean, for the rain...
I'm not getting this reference.
We will tell you after the show. Because otherwise they will call us.
Oh, okay. No, I have nothing to do with that. I have nothing.
You can't receive his
grandma. Peace and love. Peace and love.
So, let's get back to the dark.
Let's get to the dead dad jokes.
When it comes to writing dark humor for the YouTube things, what's your thought process? Like, do you just sit and like, I need to write a joke now, or does it just pop into your head? What's your thought process like?
For the roast, which is all extremely dark jokes about someone specific, I think when I've got someone, if you've got something specific to write about, it's very much easier. It's when I'm trying to write a joke just out of thin air, it's much harder. But like, if I'll either sit there and just like write, but what I normally do is, I'll just be living life and a thought will come into my mind. I'll quickly jot it down in my phone.
Right.
Like as like a 2-word or a sentence. And I'll do that. And then when I actually sit down and write, I'll go through all my shit notes and I'll kind of make sense of them. And that's when I'll put them all together. It's very hard for me to sit down and try to write organically. It needs to come to me in like something. I might notice something or have a conversation with, oh, that's funny. I'll quickly put that note in my phone.
So do you run it by your producer before you do it on the
show? No. We just do it.
Surprise.
Yeah. Sometimes he'll, because the good thing is he can edit it later.
Right. Oh, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Right.
There's so many jokes that are not on the channel that he's had to cut out.
Okay.
That's the beauty of it. He just kind of lets us do whatever and he'll edit it.
All right.
So there are some things we've said that like, yeah, we would be probably cancelled. Our show would be shut down.
You should have uncensored version.
Yeah, we want to do like a Patreon.
Yeah.
We'll do it a bit later on when we kind of sort it out. We're only a year in to this.
He also tried to do a Patreon and nearly got story after the podcast.
Another story after this whole thing.
For those of you who want to know the story, comment.
Yeah. Or join the Patreon that doesn't exist.
Do you put this on YouTube? What do you do with
this podcast?
Yeah,
it's going to YouTube.
Ah, no. Okay, yeah.
It's going to YouTube. It's a page called That's So Bro.
That's So Bro.
And it's under the SL Vlog. Takshi's our boss. Hi, Takshi.
Thanks, Takshi.
That's the one.
So
can we use any of this? How is this going?
Yeah. She's, we have 5 minutes of footage.
Right, this is her right now. Like, oh,
why
no.
Is she holding
the... She's sweating.
Fuck, she has 5 minutes of actual content. Shit.
So, are there any jokes that you have like pissed off fellow comedians at the YouTube channel? Like,
not at the YouTube channel, but on the stand-up jokes, I've pissed off. I've pissed off someone. I did an anorexic joke.
Okay.
And I pissed the girl off.
Oh, okay.
And she told me, and I said, "Fuck you! I'm just gonna still do that joke." Because if you're a comedian, and like as a comedian, you shouldn't be. This is my opinion.
Right.
You shouldn't be going and telling other comedians what they can or cannot say.
Yes. Yeah. True.
If it was an audience member, that's fine. That's understandable. It offends you. Like, okay, I'll be sympathetic. But if you're a comedian, you have to understand the game. Like, we're all trying shit out. We're all in the same boat. You can't come to me and say what I cannot say. Like, cannot say. Yeah. So, it kind of annoyed me that she said it. So I was like, I still did it. But
do you make eye contact with her? And my last joke.
This one's for you. bleep that out. But actually, don't put that in. I'll bleep that out, please. But so that, in that aspect, like, I'll never go and tell a comedian like that. You can't. I might say that wasn't funny, or there's. I have a note for you if you want to kind of like, maybe this would be funny. But I'm never gonna be like, that's off bounds. You shouldn't have made a joke about that. Even if it's something about me, like not specifically about Sri Lanka or something. Like whatever, you do you.
Do you have any dark jokes on Sri Lanka?
Sri Lankan
people. That's because I checked on the internet.
Oh, I had one. What was it? It was about cricket. Well, this is an old joke. What was it? I'll have to think. Maybe I'll have it on my phone. It was. This was like, I don't really do jokes specifically in Sri Lanka, but I had this one. It was like. It was something like cricket's so big in Sri Lanka, like, you know, when we're born, we're not classified as boy or girl, you're classified as bowler or batter. And I was like, no, I'm just joking. In Sri Lanka, girls would never be allowed to play sport. that was the joke.
Well, Takshi, you
Takshi know, hated that one. I'm joking, it's a joke.
But all jokes aside, our women's team is doing really well.
Yeah, good on them. It was a joke. It was a joke. And I support women's sports.
Joke.
Yeah, it was a joke.
I see you, Karen. I see you. Joke.
But yeah, no. And again, it was just a joke. I obviously don't believe that. I don't have strong opinions on women's sport or anything.
Plus,
like,
I don't think you should come to comedy shows with strong opinions on anything. It is meant to be a space that you can laugh at.
It's like watching a Tamil movie, Tamil action movie.
Right.
You can't come there with physics.
Right.
You can't be like E equals MC squared. You just go there to enjoy the truck flying over the bugger's head.
Right.
And how that guy got out of the truck while he was spinning, just like just did his hand. That's the point.
100%. That's Newton, a perfect example.
Newton has no power here.
That's.
All right. Yeah. Now comes the best part of the podcast, which I was dying to do for a while. Your absolute most favorite dark joke that you ever performed.
Okay, let me.
And Amanda, I want you to find out your favorite dark joke too.
That I've ever performed. My guys, all right. All right, I will go up.
Do you do comedy? Do you do stand up?
No, oh, okay. I leave the professional stuff to the professionals.
He's a professional model, by the way.
Yeah, I can. I could tell.
Thanks so much.
How's it going? She's not anorexic anymore. She's fat. Please don't put a name.
Oh my god!
From tonight, I want to binge watch your shit, man. If that's the all right. So what we'll do is so basically what we want to do is Yoshan and I wanted to do some dark jokes, and we were hoping Seth would actually grade us on the jokes. So he's the teacher for the day, all right. And after we're done with that dark jokes, you can hit us with your all time finishes.
Okay, if I can try and find some, I have to. Troll my phone. All right. Okay.
No, first, let's start with his favorite dark joke. His all-time favorite dark joke. Then we do our thing.
This is not my favorite. This is one I have. I'll just do this.
The darkest.
The darkest. This is just a rude.
That's
joke.
So much pressure on him, man.
That's a lot of pressure. I wish you told me before. I would have found some. This is okay. I'll just do a. This is just a dirty joke.
Oh yeah. Right. Takshi, closer. Yes.
Okay, this I like this joke. This is one of my favorite jokes.
We want to come in frame.
Did you like my Sri Lankan women's joke? Did you like that one?
She's nodding yes. She has a disability every month.
She's crying. okay, so this is the joke. I don't know how this will translate. So I saw a hypnotist the other day, right? And it was crazy what this guy was able to make me do. At one point, I found myself on my knees sucking this guy off. I thought, this is crazy. I can't believe I'm blowing this guy. I'm not even gay. And then he hypnotized me. that's kind of a new one. I love that joke. It doesn't always do well. A lot of people will be like, oh, that's fucking gross. But I just like that joke.
What's Takshi's reading, man?
How was it? Out of five. Give me a out of five.
Takshi's saying...
She's cutting. The whole podcast is just cutting. All right. She hated that.
0 to 5. Takshi, give us a score.
You can be honest. One.
Five.
Five.
Oh, okay.
How are you doing that with your hand? That's crazy.
She loves it.
That's not my... I have darker jokes. That was just one that I just found.
All right. So now Amanda and I will crack a few.
Right.
You score... So the things that I have are things that I found on the internet and things that I enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
So it probably could be one of the jokes from your show also.
Oh, I've got... Okay, then okay. Yep, I love this. All right.
So you just give us a score, 0 to 5. Amanda, you go first.
All right. What's the difference between... No, whoa. Yeah, that's one. What's the difference between a small boy and a bag of cocaine?
What?
Eric Clapton wouldn't let a bag of cocaine fall out of the window.
That's great. I'm using that. That's amazing. That's great. I need to put that on the channel. That's funny. I'll give that a 5. That's
thanks.
Okay.
All right.
That's a great check. That's okay.
Damn it.
So all right.
Now I have pressure.
Do the buy one again. So
tricky. What do you call a fat chick with a rape whistle?
What?
An optimistic. Takshi's mom's like, what?
That was great. See, that's a joke I wouldn't be able to do in Australia. I would not be able to then hate that. But I love that over here. Sri Lanka loves a rape joke.
Yeah. And in Sri Lanka, it's okay to look at someone like you're fat. It's a normal thing.
I love that. See, in Australia, they hate that. Yeah. They call it fat shaming, which is not a big deal these days. But I love, because I used to be really skinny. I'm not that fat. But look, I saw my family recently, and the first thing they say, you've gotten fat.
Yeah,
I love that.
And I don't think it comes from like a very like
bad place.
It's not a venomous place. Yeah. It is.
No, it's,
bro, you're putting on weight.
Lose some fucking weight. that's
great. We care about your well-being.
I love
every
that.
Every time I put content on social media or whatever, it could be stand-up, it could be an advertisement, it could be anything.
Yeah.
The first comment I get is, man, you fat. I have like an entire fan club.
Do you get offended? Do you get
Not at all. Not at all. Yeah. I mean, I tell them I have a mirror at home. I know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
thank you for reminding me, sir.
Look at a mirror.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's great. I love that about Sri Lanka.
Cool.
Make a rape joke. No, I don't.
Rock and roll, man. All right. I got this from you, but I'm going to use it. What's better than winning gold at the Paralympics?
Oh, damn it. That was my next one.
what's better than winning gold?
What's better than winning gold
at the Paralympics? I know this one. Having legs.
Yeah, walking.
Okay, yeah. That's great.
Damn it. You knew it.
That's great. I'll find some of like these type of jokes.
But yeah, you have to close them, man. Like the best has to come from you.
Yeah, after we finish, you have to do the best.
Okay, give me one.
What's a pedophile's favorite holiday?
What?
Halloween, because he gets free delivery. Guys who are watching, these are jokes.
Oh my God.
None of these jokes are us, right? I just screenshot.
I'll tell you what's funny. We can say this, and you one Buddhist joke, you're in jail.
No.
That's fucking crazy. I won't do it. I'm not going to do it, but that's insane. But yeah, that's great. I'll give that a 4 out of 5. That's a good one. I like that one.
Nice.
Go ahead, Amanda.
The Clapton joke was great.
All right, the last one I have is, how are Michael Jackson and caviar alike?
Caviar?
Yeah.
There you go.
They both come on little crackers.
Because I'm about to fall off the chair.
That's actually lovely too. I win.
That's great. That's amazing. I got to use this. That's a good one. I gotta remember that. I'll shout you guys out. I'll give the podcast a shout out.
I'll end my one also with the Michael Jackson one.
Yeah, go on. They're great.
What did Michael Jackson say to the kid on his lap?
What?
You have a great singer in you.
Amazing.
Thank you. We researched this.
By the way, that's my audition for Yeah Man.
Yeah, no, that's great. If you guys come to Sydney, hit me up for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's audition.
They're great. They were all great. Let me try and find one. But go ask. Is there anything else while I find this? You guys.
My next dog joke is your son.
This Tamil motherfucker.
Joking.
He hates it.
No. Oh, we found it.
I'm joking.
The next one, it wasn't part of the ones we were going to perform. What is black and sitting on top of the stairs?
What?
Stephen Hawking after a house fire.
Oh my God, these are great. I'm using all of these jokes next time. That's so funny. That's great. That's a 5. That's definitely a 5. Let me. What, do you have any more?
I have 2 more.
Okay, my guy really studied. More than focusing on his O levels and his A levels, my guy didn't touch.
Actually, seriously. Hey, Amanda, yep. Would you like to try African food?
Sure.
Well, they would too. Again, audience, these are jokes.
Yeah, these are jokes. Lighten up. You know, we don't mean them.
They may not make you laugh, but they're still jokes.
Yeah. Okay, let me find one. I wish you told me. I would have.
Just 2 of your favorite or whatever you can find.
Yeah, I'll see what I can find.
It's not really dark, right? But then it is. Why have you never seen a homosexual in a wheelchair?
Why?
Because you can't be a fruit and a vegetable at the same time. But that's not a dark joke. That's just...
That's a series of Sri Lankan jokes with the names. Do you remember those? Do you know the aunt who was pushed over a cliff? Her name was Pushpa.
Pushpa.
Like that. That's like a series. I can't remember them.
Oh, yeah.
Like... Every name has a joke. Oh my God. There were like 6-7 back to back.
I personally think Sri Lankans are very funny people, dude.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They are. They're very funny. I agree. I totally agree. What's the least funny race? What do you reckon?
We can't say that. We get cancelled.
What? What's the least funny race of people?
I thought he was German, but then I watched like some German comedy and that's great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think the Jews are hilarious. I think they're very funny. Who else?
Bangladeshis are not
funny. Wow, where did you pick that up from?
Those Ukrainians. They're pretty lame.
I mean, I've worked with Ukrainians. They try to be funny, but they shout their joke.
Right.
Russians, they scream their jokes. They're like, you find this funny now?
Okay, I'll give you some. These aren't the best.
Right.
It's okay.
Why is the bottom of the ocean so dark? Do you know this one?
I don't know. Why is the bottom of the ocean so dark?
Because black people can't swim.
My guy.
Again, people, jokes.
No, that one's... Black people can't swim. That one's true. No, okay. What do you call a group of white women with yeast infections?
What?
Crackers with cheese.
Bruh.
What else do I have here? Some of these are really bad.
You know, I had prepared lime juice for this, right? Like pure lime juice.
Oh, you should have done that.
Yeah, because of my kid falling down, I couldn't.
Yeah, you're there, fucking kid. There,
yeah. I squeezed like 20.
Oh, like proper lime.
And I got only this much. It wasn't enough.
Oh, that would have been fun. That would have been great.
Shots of lime juice.
Shots of lime juice. I had this much at home. I was thinking if I brought it, it's not enough.
What a PG version of what you're doing there, bro.
No, that would be worse. I love having the shots. That's the problem. It's not a punishment. You know, we just will laugh. And
yeah, you're having a better time then.
We had an episode where we got atomic chicken wings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like with the hot sauce. Yeah. Yeah.
I was planning to get that also, but my kid had to fall today.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I'm like just lime juice or lemon juice. Yeah. That's a good idea, actually. Yeah. It's a proper punishment. Yeah. Not shots of tequila isn't a punishment.
You're just bringing water for not doing your job right.
End, yeah. But I'll give you guys an inside secret. It's pretty watered down.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not real.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it has to be.
Because if we were 15 shots, I would die, yeah. But it's not all, like, it's about half-half, yeah. Right, right. But not many people know that.
Now we do. And a few thousand people who are watching us. So we'll end the podcast with one last joke.
Okay, let me find one. Sorry, I wish I was prepared.
Until that, Joshan, do you have a joke? No joke.
I have one. What do you call a blind German?
What?
A Nazi.
Nazi. Okay, some of these are really bad. Like the whole point of when we started this, it was supposed to be dad jokes. It was supposed to be very clean jokes you tell your children. That's what it was. And then they slowly evolved into the most heinous jokes.
Also wanted this episode to be about dad jokes, and we shifted it to dark
jokes. Yeah. Dad jokes are fun. They are fun that everyone can hear. But let me have a look.
But dad jokes is more of an eye roll than a ha-ha.
Yeah, but some of them can be funny. But you're right. They are. It's because they're so bad. They're funny. Yeah, that's true. Let me see. What do you call a lesbian on fire?
Lesbian on fire.
An LGBBQ.
And ladies and gentlemen, with that joke.
No, wait.
You found the gold mine.
Wait, let me see. Sorry, I would have. Some of these are really bad.
Bad as in terrible bad? Like.
Yeah, like really. Like I'll read you one of these bad ones. This is like a proper dad joke. Why do ghosts like health foods? Because it's supernatural. So shit.
What?
It's so bad.
Do ghosts like health food?
Right.
Because it's super.
Oh, right, yeah, right, right,
so,
right, right.
Yeah, that's so bad.
Oh, right.
I'll end on this one. So I had such a horrible week. My wife died. My dog ran away. My house burned down. The only positive was my AIDS test.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that we will wrap up the show today. Before we close, do you want to give any advice to aspiring comedians, some words of inspiration for them?
Just do it. Don't feel scared to do it. Just do it. My biggest problem was I started too late. Not problem, but I just started too late. I wanted to do it since I was probably 13 years old, but I only did it when I was 26 because I was scared. But just do it. Just get up, try it once, and see how you go. Just try it for the first time. Just whatever you want to do in life, just try it for the first time. Just try it.
There, you heard it. Try it, do it, don't give up.
Yeah.
Amanda, do you want to wrap this episode
sexy
up?
Motherfucker.
Yeah, bro. All right. Very special thanks again to Seth for actually joining us. Dude, it was
thank you for having me.
Yeah, fun thank having you. Yeah. And if anybody hasn't seen your work, they can go to Yamat TV, or is it?
Yeah, Yamat TV. My Instagram is at SATHH. I don't have any content on there, but yeah, Yamat TV is where all my
stuff. Sure, he can use more followers then.
yeah, I do need
trust me, you follow Yamat TV, you will, your life will just get better like a million times.
I'm also going to apologize to our previous guests. I'm sorry, Yoshan didn't smile as much when you were here as
I
when
did.
This man was
I
here.
Did.
Who was the previous guest?
Every other guest after this episode. But yeah, man, thanks so much. Thanks so much for coming and joining and lightening up the entire mood. Lightening up the entire mood with dark humor.
Yeah, thank you for
and,
having me.
Yeah, man, we'll check you guys out later.
And with that, that's so...
Bro!